Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Maitreya program. Today we have part two on the environmental issues facing humanity. We'll start with Save Our Planet by Benjamin Kremsmaster. And he goes to say, when one looks deeply into the present situation in the world, two things stand out as particularly important: the danger of war and the acceleration of the Earth's ecological imbalance. There are, of course, many other problems. The economic debacle, which affects many countries, especially in the West, the huge increase in the prices of food, especially the staple diet of many millions, the huge and growing disparity in living standards between the rich and the poor. All of these problems are important and require early resolution. The two first named must command the attention of all sensible men and governments, for they present the greatest threat to man's well-being. Wars, large and small, should by now be unthinkable. But sadly, this is not the case. Even a world which has known the folly or futility of war at its most terrible has still not relinquished totally that abomination. The governments are seduced into thinking that old ways will, after all, render up their coveted price.
The weapons of war, therefore, have become indispensable and a major trading asset. While the weapons are there, they will be used. Small wars beget large wars as more countries become involved. Large nations fight by proxy through their allies and so prolong unimportant quarrels into war. This major danger must be abandoned by all nations. It threatens the very existence of men on earth. Apart from war, nothing so profoundly affects the future of all men as much as pollution. Some countries have recognized this fact and have taken some steps to limit pollution and global warming. Others, sometimes the chief polluters, deny the reality of global warming despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary.
Daily now, the climate changes prove beyond doubt that the planet is sick and needs immediate and skillful care to re-establish equilibrium. Time is running out for man to halt the transformation which is being daily wrought on planet Earth. Every man, woman and child must play their part in the task. Time is verily running out. SOP, Save Our Planet. And that article was first published in the September 2012 issue of Share International magazine. Now, our next article originally sourced from ecowatch.com, CNN.com, and features in the April's magazine is a dire warning. A study just published in April 2019 by researchers at Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research and the Max Planck Institute for Meteorology in Hamburg, Germany, states that there is more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere now than at any other time in the last 3 million years. Researchers have succeeded for the first time in creating a computer simulation of the climate over the past 3 million years that matched data taken from sediment from the ocean floor.
Lead study author Matteo Willeit of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research said in a press release, "We know that the analysis of sediments on the bottom of our seas about past ocean temperatures and ice volumes, but so far the role of CO2 changes in shaping the glacial cycles has not been fully understood. It is a breakthrough that we can now show in computer simulations that changes in CO2 levels were a major driver of the ice ages." Their findings have frightening implications. During the period modelled in the computer simulation, global temperatures never rose above pre-industrial levels by more than 2 degrees Celsius. If humans continue to burn fossil fuels at current rates, we will surpass that marker within 50 years with major consequences.
"Our results imply a strong sensitivity of the Earth's system to relatively small variations in atmospheric CO2, Willeit said. "As fascinating as this is, it is also worrying." Willeit told CNN that the models showed that carbon dioxide levels would not be more than 280 parts per million today if human activity had not intervened in natural climate cycles. Instead, they are at around 410 parts per million. "If this trend is not slowed," Willeit told CNN, "our planet will change. The next 200 years could see 1 to 2 meters of sea level rise."
Another environmental issue explains a little known fact that the worst pollution is from nuclear radiation. It's sourced from the January-February 2010 double issue of Share International magazine, and it's under the heading, "The Earth is in the Intensive Care Unit." And part of this article reads, according to Dr. Helen Caldicott, a longtime anti-nuclear activist and co-founder of the group Physicians for Social Responsibility, global warming is the greatest gift the nuclear industry has ever received. Caldicott has joined with progressive environmental groups in an effort to stop nuclear power from being offered as a solution to global warming. All the climate bills before the United States Congress contain pro-nuclear provisions, and the industry has the support of the US Nuclear Regulatory Agency, which receives fees from nuclear power plants. Caldicott fears that the only thing that will stop the trend towards nuclear power is a nuclear reactor meltdown.
Also worrying to her are environmental and advocacy groups that are not taking strong public stands about the dangers of nuclear energy. Although they may not be promoting nuclear energy, they are not actively opposing it. Caldicott's passion, dedication and clarity are evident in the short speech she gave to 100,000 protesters at the International Climate Summit in Copenhagen in December 2009. Here's an extract from her speech. "The Earth is in intensive care unit. It is acutely sick. We are all now physicians to a dying planet. The nuclear power industry has used global warming to say, we are the answer. All the money that goes into nuclear power, $15 billion per power plant, is being stolen from the solutions to fix the Earth, like solar, wind, hydro, geothermal conservation."
Nuclear power produces massive quantities, hundreds of thousands of tons of radioactive waste, which will get into the water, concentrate into the fish, the milk, the food, human breast milk, fetuses, babies, children. Radioactive iodine causes thyroid cancer. 12,000 people in Belarus have thyroid cancer. Radioactive strontium-90, which causes bone cancer and leukemia, lasts for 600 years. Cesium-137, which causes brain cancer, is all over Europe now, in the reindeer, in the land, in the food. It lasts for 600 years. Plutonium, the most dangerous substance on Earth, 1/1000th of a gram causes cancer, lasts for 250,000 years. It causes lung cancer, liver cancer, testicular cancer, and damages fetuses so they are born deformed.
Nuclear power, therefore, is nuclear waste for all future generations. It will produce epidemics of cancer in young children because they are very sensitive. It will cause genetic disease, congenital deformities. Nuclear power is about disease, and it's about death. It will produce the greatest public health hazard the world has ever seen for the rest of time. We must close down every single nuclear reactor in Europe and throughout the world. Benjamin Creme, in his book Maitreya's Mission Volume 2, points out how every one of us can take responsibility for our actions regarding pollution. He states that it is precisely the misuse of resources, the blind following of market forces, the competition which has created the pollution which is now proving such an ecological hazard. We are poisoning our planet so quickly that unless we change direction very soon, it will be too late, and future generations will suffer unbelievably.
Luckily, nature is very resilient and, I believe, will bounce back. Already, many people, even governments, at the insistence of various groups in different nations, are beginning to address the problems of pollution. But it will not be stopped while we have such competition in our methods and policy of manufacture. We have to shift the present attitude to production from that of greed, waste, and competition to that of sufficiency. Instead of saying, how much can we produce and how fast? We have to say, how much do we need? How little of this commodity can we get away with using? How little of this and that will give us a rich, full life in such a way that all individuals can share that life?
And we'll finish with a piece from the San Francisco Chronicle, featured in Share International magazine 2014, December. And then following that, an article from the Master. In multiple-year experiments on grazing land in California, compost was found to have the potential to turn the vast rangeland of California and the world into a tool to fight climate change. Research by University of California, Berkeley, U.S. biogeochemist Wendy Silva found that a single application of compost to rangeland soil is a simple and effective way of removing carbon dioxide from the air and substantially increasing the storage of carbon in the soil. The carbon storage effects has persisted over 6 years, Silva found, and she believes that the carbon will remain stored for at least several decades. The effect is cumulative, meaning the soil keeps absorbing carbon dioxide even after just one application of compost. Silver calculates that if compost from California's green waste, from household food scraps to dairy manure, were applied to 25% of the state's rangeland, the soil could absorb the equivalent of three-quarters of the state's annual greenhouse gas emissions.
Soil is a major source of carbon, and Silver says we've been bleeding into it, the atmosphere, for many, many years. Silver said, and we've been bleeding it into the atmosphere for many, many years through plowing, overgrazing, and poor agricultural practices. So anything we can do to get some of that carbon back into the soil is going to be beneficial. Grazing is the single largest use of land worldwide, and most grazing lands are degraded, meaning they have lost their carbon. That includes California's coastal and Sierra foothills, where invasive plant species have displaced native perennials that have much deeper roots and store much more carbon. Ritan Lal, who's the director of the Carbon Management and Sequestration Center at Ohio State University, says whether it's eroded, whether it's compacted, whether it's sanitized, nutrient depletion is a very big factor in cropland and grazing land. And the more degraded the lands are, the more they need to have carbon put back in the soil.
By returning carbon to the soil in a stable form, such as compost, soils can be restored. Plants pull carbon dioxide from the air through photosynthesis and transfer a portion of the carbon to the soil through their roots. Soil microorganisms then turn the carbon into a stable form commonly known as humus. This not only sequesters the carbon, but also improves the soil's fertility, boosting plant growth and capturing more carbon, while also improving the soil's ability to absorb and retain water. The U.S. Agriculture Department is currently incorporating carbon planting into its voluntary national farm conservation protocols. The department is building a carbon farming model that includes compost along with 36 basic practices that help restore soil carbon, such as no-till farming and cover crops. Recently, a climate change task force named the nonprofit Marine Carbon Project in a report on how agriculture can improve climate resilience.
The Marin Carbon Project in San Francisco has brought together a network of ranchers, government officials, scientists, and non-profit organizations in an effort to take the compost concept not just across California, but across the US and the world. Discussions are currently underway with officials in Brazil and China. We need to reduce our fossil fuel emissions. There's just no way around that problem, Silva said. But this is one of the things that we can do that certainly can make a difference. It's inexpensive, it's low technology, it's good land use, and it solves multiple problems. And now an excerpt from the Masters article, which was given in 1989. In former times, changes took place slowly, and for long centuries, society remained relatively static in its structure and activity. Furthermore, large areas of the world were unknown to each other. Communication, even between near neighbours, was spasmodic and confined to traders and soldiers for the most part.
Today, all of this is transformed. In almost every corner of the world, communications flourish and brings the event of each day to the attention of all. Nowhere is it possible to be unaware of the swift and often savage happenings which assault the eyes and ears of billions today. In a very real sense, the world has shrunk to village size, and as in a village size, the actions of one affect the lives and interests of all. No longer can any nation stand aside and claim immunity from the results of its misdeeds. Power alone no longer confers this privilege. More and more, the nations are awakening to their mutual dependence and responsibility. At long last, under pressure from their people, governments are accepting the need to cherish and nourish the environment on which all future life depends. Without such wise husbandry, the future for mankind will be bleak indeed.
Gradually, it is being realized by those who make decisions that time is not on the side of those who despoil and poison the planet, that resources are not unlimited, and that nature recoils from exploitation and assault. There is a growing awareness that careful and concerted action on a global scale alone can remedy the many transgressions of the natural order that man's ignorance and greed has brought about. And that is all we have time for. If you would like further information, we would suggest you visit the website share-international.org. And otherwise, if you would like to communicate with us, email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.